previously on Dubious Intent. We didn't have a previously, Adam.
We've been gone a long time.
We have. And
it's been a long time.
Oh my God, that would be the one to play, although the audio on it
getting
sucks.
From yeah. there to here.
Go ahead, finish the words.
I don't know the rest of the words.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Delta Airlines. When you need to absolutely positively get there overnight, go somewhere else. We really don't give a fuck. Check us out at delta.com and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DubiousIntent for a stalling discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer and I am joined from the Delta Airlines Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. You know, I went on a trip and amazingly enough, American Airlines was early. Like, I got in early to Seattle. I got home early. I was like, I don't know, like a half an hour early to each of the stops on the way.
That's great.
Yeah. And yeah, it was fantastic.
Great. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Adam, you've been gone for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know if you were aware of that or not, but you have been gone for a couple of weeks.
I have.
This has caused a lot of problems here at the Dubious Intent headquarters, where we are backed up on celebrity death phone calls. You could have done this. Like, you were home on Sunday. You could have done a show last Sunday. Much like I did a solo show two Sundays ago, so that our dear listeners, our faithful listeners, would not go, you know, a week. God forbid, a week without hearing us. I did a show, Adam. Did you listen to that show, Adam? I know you didn't because I name-checked you midway through it, and I knew that if you ever listened to it, you would say something
about
it.
Wait, I have to defend myself and my honor here and correct you because I was not home on Sunday. My plane did not leave until 6 a.m. Monday morning to come back. So I was actually not at home.
All right.
And no, I did not listen to that episode because, Daniel.
Yes. Why, Adam?
Well, I mean, there's not really a good answer to give you there except that, you know, Daniel, you are in my top five, and but I'm behind because I've been away on a trip.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, speaking of being behind, this is going to happen a lot tonight, finally, just so you know. Yes. Hello.
Yeah. That's Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. MGM musical star Gloria to Heaven, dead at 91. Okay, bye.
Why is there 15 seconds of silence? Gloria to Heaven, Adam.
I don't know who that is, but if you do, and they're famous.
Either. I don't either, and she's 91.
I could Google it, but
she's 91.
So you know, Scott the Satyr is gonna like.
Oh my
it's
God!
Probably
that
some
was...
musical.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you not know who Gloria to Heaven was? She was
cat number three in Cats, the original Broadway run. How dare you?
In the original Broadway run of Cats, she was Grisabella. How dare you not know that? Yeah, I know. Whatever.
So RT Cruiser in the chat room, which you can get to on every Sunday night by going to pride48.com and clicking on the little chat button on the top right-hand corner of the page. Yeah. Actually, you can get there any time of the week, but if you want to be in our chat room, it would be Sunday evenings.
That's right.
Around 9 p.m. Eastern.
Go ahead, say what he said.
Well, he's saying she was the voice of Hollywood, and I don't even know what that means. The voice of Hollywood.
I think he's talking about Vera Charles. Adam, you know, it is 9:32 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that could, of course, mean only one thing. We are streaming live on pride48.com. In front of the world's most amazing chat room, Adam, who is actually joining us in our chat room this evening?
Daddy Dave, Good Humor Penguin, Mib, KGXVRK. Nico.
Hi, Nico.
Paul Armstrong.
Paul Armstrong.
Oh my God,
here.
It's Paul Armstrong. Well,
ladies and gentlemen,
YouTube fame.
YouTube celebrity Paul Armstrong has graced us with his presence tonight.
RT Cruza, mm-hmm. Yaz Mamadou, mm-hmm. Cyclone, FL Mac, Gary MC, Kratos 77, or as I like to say, Crotch Toast.
That's correct.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Mags and Toppy Smelly, who in roughly 5 minutes will say, I'm sorry, guys, but my bed is calling me and I must depart.
Wow. You know what? I don't know. I don't like to, you know, talk about things that move me, Adam, because yeah, I'm a crier. But that video on how to put on a duvet cover, it was so good. I was in tears. I just if you need a really stirring and moving piece of video to watch, go over to Paul Armstrong's YouTube channel and watch how to put on a duvet cover. Not this latest one, this misleading how to organize a closet, which basically is him saying, I'm going to put together this, I'm going to build this shelf inside my closet, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And then it's like, well, it's built. Now I'm going to put it in. Oh, now it's in. And he basically doesn't show us, no. He doesn't show us building it or putting it in. It's just boop, boop, it's done.
Now, Daniel.
Yes.
I didn't want to point this out.
Uh-oh.
But there is kind of a recurring theme on the Paul Armstrong channel.
Yeah.
And it's, he takes things that he had to do around the house anyway.
Yeah.
And then just makes them into like
right,
a how to.
Well, of course.
Like,
that's the, you know, best, the
oh
best.
Oh my God. It's cleaning day.
It's called
around
multitasking.
So I need to clean the baseboards. Oh my God. Guess what? How to clean your baseboards.
Here's the thing.
You know,
here's the thing. While he was organizing his closet, he like gave a shot of his living room where he had temporarily put the stuff from his closet. He's like, now my living room is completely messed up. His living room is so damn clean. It's like he doesn't know what a messed up living room looks like. It's like, here's all the stuff that I just took out of the closet neatly stacked over here on the couch temporarily. Oh my God, this is so messy. It's just,
And speaking of videos, Daniel,
yes,
I was reprimanded when I went to Hawaii for not putting out video every day of my Hawaii
that
trip while I was
true.
In Hawaii.
Nope.
You told me.
Nope, not true.
No.
I said you weren't posting anything. You weren't posting anything. You weren't posting pictures or anything like that. And I did post pictures during my Vegas trip. Thank you very much.
You can't preempt my reprimand of you. How dare you, sir?
I can
you
and I did.
You said you must not be having fun, Adam, because you are not posting video. I know that's what that is exactly what you said.
Yeah, but you are a YouTube star. I'm not. I'm not a YouTube star.
You have not posted any video as of, you've been home for like months.
You've not been home for months. I have been home very short time. Yes.
You had all that free time waiting in the airport. Mm-hmm. You could have.
Aw, Vera Charles says, can't stay, don't ask, but I wanted to say happy birthday, Adam. Love you, sweetheart. You know what?
Thank you, Auntie Vera Charles.
I don't want to spoil this, but Vera called in for your birthday, so you'll be hearing that later. Many of the of podcasting's biggest stars have called in tonight to wish you a happy birthday, and they will be playing those later. But yeah, I'm completely lost to where we were, Adam. It's just like, we're doing this again. This is what happens when you take 2 weeks off, Adam. You just get all kind of backed up here.
Oh, wah, wah, wah. Oh, wah, wah, wah. That's right. Today, David Bald Eagle, the Lakota chief and actor in Dances with Wolves, died at age 97. Brian in New Orleans. Bye.
Wow. What say you, Adam? David Bald Eagle.
Yeah, he's famous. I can almost picture him. Okay. Without sounding racist.
Yes.
Anyone who's sensitive and thinks things sound racist, close your ears right now.
Oh, God.
But I do have a face of an older Native American gentleman in my mind right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought that was going to be your statement. I have the face of an older Native American.
Well, I am in my smoking tent licking the back of a frog right now, Daniel. I didn't know. I don't know if you know that, but I've got a peace pipe here that I'm going to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's famous.
Okay, great.
I don't know if he's the only famous Native American older gentleman or if there are
Chakotay.
Multiple.
Chakotay. Robert Beltran. What's his name? The guy that played Chakotay. Yeah. Robert Beltran?
There are those.
Richard Beltran. Robert
I don't
Beltran.
Know his name. But I just saw him. He has the tattoo on his face.
I did that thing when I saw him walking down the hallway at the Star Trek thing, and it was the first time I seen him. And I like I was walking with Mark and Ed at the time we were walking, and I was like, oh my God, there's Commander Chakotay. And so I waved at him, but I guess I did it in a way that made him think that I knew him or that he knew me, because he started to walk towards me like he knew me. You know, and just like,
and then he's like, oh, wait, nope, don't.
And then he kind of realized that I was just, oh, that's right, I'm a Star Trek convention, whatever. Because I was just like, oh, Commander Chakotay. He's just like, you know, he started to walk towards me like, oh, yeah, it's my butt. Oh, okay, what's his name? Oh, it's that guy. What's his name? Yeah, it's just like.
You should have been like, hey, Robert. Exactly. How you doing?
Yeah. Like, they have handlers, though. They have handlers. Kind of like when you go visit Vera, she has handlers around her that keeps her from, you know, getting into those kind of, you have to get this past those damn handlers. Anyway, Adam, we've had 2 weeks off. Now, I, of course, only took a single week off because I care about the audience. And so I did my little solo political show. But where were you for 2 weeks? Where'd you go?
Well, some would say you did your little solo show. Maybe it's because you don't care as much about the audience as what you...
That is not true. I got a lot of feedback from that political. Matter of fact, I had an email that we will be reading in the contact segment tonight from that show.
Matter of fact, he's bringing back Callbox 7, ladies and gentlemen, bringing it back.
No, I'm not bringing it back.
And the co-host on that show is going to be Joey L. Buhecker.
Wow.
And wow. Yeah. All right. So you wanted me to talk about my trip?
Yeah.
Or. So I don't really have I just have a couple of general observations, and I want everyone to just lay off on me before I even start, because these are going to be, look, I am not trying to be insensitive.
You're preemptively asking for people to not pick on you.
Yeah, but I'm not an insensitive person, really. Mm-hmm. I'm not. And this is a sad topic that I'm going to talk about, but nothing happened to me over the past week, so I have to talk about this. There's nothing funny that happened. Okay.
All right, got it.
Nothing enjoyable for people to listen to. All right, so I went to see my grandparents. Well, here's the thing about my grandparents, and this is sad. I mean, this is really sad, but it's a little bit annoying as well, and I think you, and we've talked about this before, but they...
Yes?
I don't even know what that music has to do with any... Anyway, so I went out to Washington. I flew out, mm-hmm. And my grandparents are in this weird point in their life where they need to be moving into an assisted living sort of situation.
Yes.
But my grandmother basically is clinging because they've lived in the same house for 55 years.
And she's not moving.
And she's the more able-bodied of the two. Mm-hmm. And well, I don't even want to say able-bodied, able-minded, because mm-hmm. my grandfather is still able-bodied, but he... So I get there, and this is, you know, and again, this is not funny. I'm not making fun of this. But I get there, and my mom tells me, because they were already there for about a week by the time I got there, and my mom tells me that my grandfather has gotten so confused. The washer and the dryer are downstairs in the basement, and my grandmother doesn't like to walk up and down the stairs because she has knee problems.
Okay.
And so my grandfather, I've said before, he has Alzheimer's. And she sends him down to get the laundry and stuff because he can still go up and down the stairs without any problems. Well, he's gotten to the point that he's so confused that he evidently has gotten confused several times. And mom went down to put something in the dryer, and she opened up the door to the dryer, and there was urine, like multiple, like a puddle, like a large puddle of urine would have taken.
So he had peed in the dryer.
He had peed in the dryer.
Kind of like someone that might have peed in the shower in Orlando. So what you're saying, Adam, is when I get older, I've got that to look forward to, that I will no longer be sleepwalking and peeing in the shower, but now I'll get confused and pee in the dryer too.
Exactly. I don't know. Great. Maybe you will. Great. And so, you know, that's how I kind of started out my trip, hearing that my grandfather has peed in the dryer because he's gotten confused. Well, he has this medicine that he takes in the morning and in the evening.
Yes.
And that clears his head a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. Aricet? No, it's not air. Anyway, there's an Alzheimer's medication.
Yes.
And it makes him a little less confused.
Yes. If he can remember to take it.
Well, my grandmother gives him his pills.
Yes.
But the next thing that we found out during the course of this trip is that he has been sneakily spitting out the pills.
Oh.
my grandmother will give them to him in the morning, and he'll run to the bathroom really quick or go somewhere where she doesn't see him. He'll hold the pills in his cheek, and then he'll spit them out.
If he's in the bathroom, why doesn't he just flush them down the toilet?
I don't know. And he spit. Where is it? I don't know where he spits them. It doesn't matter. He spits them out. And she's gotten to the point where, and now she's getting forgetful.
Yes.
I don't know if it's Alzheimer's or what it is, but literally now my grandmother, every 10 minutes, she will ask you the same question, almost as if it's Alzheimer's. So sometimes she doesn't even remember if he took his pills.
Right. So the way that we get around with my mom, by the way, you might want to check into this, is a lot of those Alzheimer's medications now come in the form of transdermal patches. So you can, they literally can put on like a patch for a week. So then you just have to, you know, monitor whether or not they put the patch on once a week. Right. It, like a Nicorette.
I'll have them check that. And the thing is, he's already bad enough that he really can't carry on a conversation.
Yeah.
Because he just gets confused. And you can't really ask him, why are you spitting out your medication? Because he won't even remember spitting it out or that you gave it to him. And and then my grandmother, this is just here's something that is kind of funny. My grandma will be walking around the house and farting. And she'll take a step and just...
Does she do a podcast? Like, does she like do a daily podcast? Because if so, your grandmother may be big fatty. I'm just saying. But
she doesn't say anything. Like, she doesn't go, oh, excuse me, or I'm sorry. She's just like walking down the hall, like farting, or like even in the kitchen.
Does she announce what it was? Like, you know, she's going, oh, that was pizza from last night. Oh, those are my Chex Mix that I had last night. Oh, that was my Mussolini spaghetti.
And I don't know if she doesn't know that we're hearing this or, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I was just like, and anyway, so this is what I dealt with like all week long. We were just basically hanging around there.
You and Mittens. And did you subject Mittens to this?
No, he didn't. No, it was just me.
Okay.
It was just me. But they have a 2-bedroom apartment near where my grandparents currently live in an assisted living place that's close to the Pancake House because my grandparents love eating at the Pancake House 3 days a week. is opening up in October. So the kids are trying to talk to my grandma and, you know, convince her that it's time for them to make the move.
You know what? My grandparents did that, too. They had like certain restaurants that they ate at certain days of the week. And it was like that was like their thing. Right. And they would get very agitated if like Morrison's wasn't open on the day that they were supposed to eat at Morrison's. It's like I've always thought that was weird as a kid. But now that I'm dealing with my mom and her memory issues and stuff, like I'm wondering if that's just a like if that's a routine that like that's how they mark. Like I can remember that I'm supposed to do this on this day.
Well, the other thing is my grandparents have both been retired the whole time I've known them. And I think when you get retired, you just get in routines, even if you're, you know, even if you're completely bodily and mentally able.
Yeah.
I think part of keeping yourself busy as a retired person is to having some because, you know, when you're working, your work is your routine. So when you're not working anymore, probably things like that, like going to the Pancake House, when they both got exercise every day, they would go to the mall and walk every morning.
Right.
You know, and then they would go to
that
Pancake House.
They probably order the exact same thing. They probably ask for the same waitress. They probably leave her a quarter tip because that was big money back in the Depression. So, you know, and it's like, you can't be mad at them because I used to work breakfast in a small town, right? It's like, so I would get the, you know, the Trailer Square Fun Club coming in where they would come in and order the same thing and they would all leave me a quarter or 50 cents tip, which they thought was great. I mean, so it's like, you can't be mad at them, you know, that it wasn't anywhere close to like even 10% of their bill. You know, they're in fixed income, right? And they thought that was a big thing. It was great.
Yeah, and my grandma loves, and I guess the benefit for her of my grandfather having Alzheimer's is she has to order for him at restaurants now. And so now when they go to the Pancake House, she loves the salmon. Yeah. So she just orders the salmon and splits it with him. And he asks her, have we ordered yet? And she's like, yeah, we've already ordered. And we're having the salmon.
Wow.
And, you know, and he's like, oh, great, salmon.
He has a story about salmon that he tells. You know what? My mom does that, too. It's like, you remember that? When my mom, like, you'll have the exact same conversation. She'll react the exact same way. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, I like salmon. Salmon's great. I love that.
Have we ordered yet?
It's like, yes. Yeah. Yes, Mom, we ordered you salmon. Oh, I like salmon. Salmon's great.
The last day we were there, though, she got so pissed off because the salmon dinner comes with ice cream.
Uh-oh.
And they forgot to bring out the ice cream.
Oh, God, it's conspiracy.
And she had already paid the bill and everything. And she's like, you know, I think they forgot to bring out the, and she was getting very agitated. Like, I think they forgot to bring out the, and then she's like, I only order the salmon because I love the, I love getting the ice cream at the end.
I hate the fish,
and
as a matter of fact. I can't stand the fish.
We're like, okay, we'll call them over here. They'll bring the ice cream.
Wouldn't it be great if she was just like, I can't stand it. Salmon gives me gas. And it's just, you know what? There's no way we're getting through this without playing two at a time. So let's just do two real quick here. Yes. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys, T. Cruiser for the Celebrity Deathbed again. Artist and illustrator Jack Davis, dead at 91.
Jack Davis.
If you've ever read a Mad magazine, you will know his work. He was one of the founders of the magazine and did most of the drawings of Aberdeen Human.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, see, for a minute I thought he meant like Garfield, but then that was Jim Davis. So yeah, so Jack Davis from Mad Magazine there. Thank you very much, RT Cruiser. Congratulations, you're entered into it. And let's just do the next one in line really quickly. Here we go. Hello.
Hey guys, this is Carlos Hernandez, a.k.a. Minion 51, calling for the Celebrity Death Phone. Sad to report, Jerry Doyle has just died, best known for his role on Babylon 5. Thanks a lot.
Indeed, Jerry Doyle, who I believe played Garibaldi on Deep Space, I mean on Babylon 5. Fun fact, I had a friend that worked at NASA on the shuttle program back in the late 80s, early 90s. And yeah, Jerry Doyle would come up to NASA and like he would take all of them out to, you know, for drinks and everything. He was like a big fan of the space program. And so he would take all the NASA employees out to eat and everything.
I didn't watch Babylon 5. So I'm going to have to look him up, but I knew he sounded famous. I've heard the name before.
So let's talk about this. Are you done with your trip there, Adam?
Yes, that's it. So anyway, nothing really happened. I visited my aunts and uncles. We had game nights, which is always, I like it. It's always fun. And, you know, and really nothing too spectacular other than just seeing family. So, but yes, I am done.
So yeah, so I went to the Star Trek convention, Adam, the 50th anniversary Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, Nevada. I have never been to a Star Trek convention before. Have you ever been to a Star Trek convention before?
I have not been to a Star Trek convention.
The only thing I had to compare it to was BlizzCon, because I have gone to BlizzCon for a couple of years in a row. And so that's really my only kind of big conference that I could compare it to. It is not BlizzCon. I'll tell you that, Adam. It is not BlizzCon.
In a good way or a bad way?
In kind of a bad way. All right. Let me just preface this, because I don't want this to be like, I'm moaning, bitching, you know, whatever.
Well, I saw Facebook posts, like millions of Facebook posts from Mark and Ed, and they were having a fantastic time.
No, I had a great time, so, Adam. I had a great time. But here's
they had
but
photos
it's not,
with.
Here, my complaint with it is not with the people that were there. My complaint was with the people that ran the convention. But we'll get to that in a second. Let me just put this out. Let me put the positive stuff out there first, right? It is really, really cool to be walking around the Rio Hotel during those 5 days. You kind of feel like you're visiting Starfleet Academy, because so many people are in uniforms. It's like there's so many. It's like if you've ever visited like a college campus, like a military college campus where people are forced to wear, you know, uniforms or whatever, and you know there's civilians kind of walking around visiting them and everything. It's kind of that kind of a feel, right? There's people walking around in Starfleet uniforms everywhere, and then there's like civilians, you know, walking around with them. So it's kind of like being on campus, you know, like it just has a really cool feel. Everyone's really friendly. Everyone, you know, loves, you know, like, well, hey, can you take my picture? You know, people are really happy to take your picture and just to chat about everything. There was, they had like a big Quarks bar kind of set up in one of the rooms, you know, which was decorated lovely. It was a very lovely decorated room. The drinks were a bit annoying because it was the hotel bar, like, you know, like a convention bar, like, you know, like there was a guy there that had, you know.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just a regular hotel.
We know how that
here.
Is because they're like, you guys have to use our food and
correct.
Beverage,
correct.
Whatever,
and,
whatever.
And for whatever reason, I guess because they charge so much per bartender, it was like they never had more than two bartenders in that room, and that just was not enough at the peak times for this. So there was at least huge lines to basically get like a beer from the hotel bartender. So, but regardless, the Quarks Bar was there, and they had like this smaller stage in there that was kind of like a little interactive stage where they ran trivia competitions during the week. And they had, you know, like there was a couple of Star Trek podcasts that got up there and did some panels on, you know, the different Star Trek podcast things. There was the lady, one of the people from Cake Wars was there, where they had like daily cookie decorating contest, where they gave you like these white rectangle, you know, white iced rectangular cookies, and then a whole bunch of pens and taffy and things that you could put to decorate. And they gave you a theme. So the day I was there, my theme was flowers. So I had to decorate my cookie in the theme of flowers. And I actually did that. In the original series, there was an episode where Sulu early on was like a botanist or something. But when you went into his botany lab, there was this plant on the table that one of the ensigns walked by, and the plant, like, you know, reached out for her. It was so clearly a hand in there. You know, it was so clearly like,
I think I remember
that. Yeah, it was like this ugly orange plant that was like in the shape of a hand, you know, with like feathers on it. Right. So it's like I made that on my cookie. Because I was going for the esoteric thing there, and but anyway, I didn't win. But at my table, because there's only five people at a table for that competition, at the table there was this little girl who sat down and next to me, and I was chatting with her. Her dad was standing behind her, and I was chatting with her, and was sort of like, "Hi, you know, how old are you?" She's like, "I'm 8." I'm like, "What's your name?" "My name's Ezri." I'm like, "Oh my god, how adorable! Her name is Ezri. She's named after Ezri Dax." So yeah, she was there, and precocious little 8-year-old.
Did she have a lizardy thing like living on her spine or something? What was that? The Dax thing?
Yeah, Dax is a symbiote. Yes. The Dax symbiote that lives inside of Trills. No, she wasn't dressed up in costume, but she was so cute. And she actually later in the week asked a question of Kate Mulgrew at her panel. And her dad tried to ask the question for her. Said, "I have an 8-year-old daughter who's too shy to ask you this question. So I'm going to ask it for her." And Kate Mulgrew was like, "No." She's like, "No, I'm sorry. No, bring her up here." It's like, "Come up here." It's like, and then like he started to bring her up, and he's like, "No, not you, Dad. Just her. You come up here.
Ezra, come to my
room." She didn't know her name at the time. He's just like, "No, you come up here. Come up here." And it's like she made her come up on stage and like sat there and talked with her and had her ask the question, and then tried to turn it into a thing about, you know, like, parents never give their kids like credit and whatever. Anyway, doesn't matter. FYI, her dad was really hot, so I was, you know, I was a fan of the dad. Anyway, but also sitting at my table was a girl that was in cosplay that, like in, you know, like generic TOS cosplay. And I had complimented on her thing. She's like, "Oh, wait until you see tomorrow at the contest competition. I'll be dressed as the Borg Queen." And she was like one of the finalists in the contest. Her husband had made the,
I think you did post a photo.
Yeah,
of that.
I did. Yes. Yes.
Perhaps.
So, yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of really, you know, so the people are great. I will say that the people there are great. The atmosphere around those kind of areas are really great. That was all very fun. I enjoyed all of that stuff.
Was there anyone that you wanted to be there that was not there?
Well, I haven't even gotten to the point that, you know, so that's just the people. That's just the attendees. The panels that were going on in the main room where you had people, you know, like I saw Shatner, I saw, Scott Bakula, I saw Kate Mulgrew, I saw a panel, like most of the other ones they do in panels, so like two or three actors from each show. So they had a couple of DS9 panels, a couple of Voyager panels, a couple of TNG panels. All of those were great. I loved all of those things. They were all great. Whoopi Goldberg was there. She did a panel. So it's like, so as far as that goes, as far as, you know, watching the panels and interacting with all the people, and even to a certain extent, going through the vendor area and looking at all the different Star Trek, you know, themed merchandise that you could get. I must have bought 8 different t-shirts, you know, so it's like, and that was all fun too.
Now, do any of the actors from the movie, from the recent movies, do they, or is it completely separate? Like they don't include that in?
No, there was no one there from the movies. Carl Urban, who plays McCoy, was supposed to be there, but had to back out at the last minute. So he almost was there. They also had a big memorial on the side of one of the hallway walls of Anton Yelchin, the one that died, where you could sign it and, you know, kind of like a little memorial there. But, no, there was nothing, almost nothing from the new movies. But more disturbing than that, really, Adam, everything was very TOS oriented. It's like everyone was so gaga over TOS, which for those of you who aren't Trekkies, that's the original series. You know, they definitely treated all of the other shows as second class citizens. It's like, you know, like they treated Deep Space Nine as you know, a second class citizen, or Next Generation was a second class citizen. It was all very, you know, TOS.
I think your favorite one of the Star Treks would probably be Deep Space Nine, and mine is The Next Generation.
No, actually, my
TOS would be our favorite.
Yeah, my favorite is Enterprise. But yeah, I would say TNG is probably my second, and DS9 and Voyager third and fourth. The TOS is my least favorite of the five. I'm not saying I hate it. It's just it's my least favorite of the five because it's not mine, right? I grew up with TNG. It was very, very TOS oriented. And here's the thing that bothered me about it was it just felt really dated. And let me say, all right, so they had most of the panels that came out, they had moderators that would, you know, talk to them. And then after let's say it was an hour long panel. So the moderator would ask them questions for, you know, 20, 25 minutes, and then they would open it up to questions, and you had people on either side doing it. And those were great. The moderators were a bit cruise shippy, I guess. You know what I'm saying? They just kind of they would make really cheesy jokes and, you know, and yeah. But that's fine. But they didn't screen the questions. So what would happen is that you know, Captain Archer would get up and speak. So Scott Bakula is getting up and speak, and he didn't have a moderator. So he spoke for maybe 5 or 10 minutes about, you know, the importance of, you know, the role that he played and how much he enjoyed it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, hey, we got questions here. Let's take questions. How about over on this side? Yes, Mr. Bakula, in Quantum Leap, you did blah, 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 blah. And then he would answer the question. And then yeah. And the next question is over here. Yeah, Mr. Bakula, yes. 2 years ago, you were in a made-for-TV movie called, you know, He Knocked Thrice. In that movie, what did you, you know, it's like, they didn't screen the questions, and so what would happen is oftentimes the questioning would just drift off into completely non-related, you know, non-Star Trek stuff. I liked Quantum Leap. I thought it was great, but I paid a lot of money to be at a Star Trek convention. I would rather hear some cute behind-the-scenes stories about Enterprise than I would about Quantum Leap. There was some original series people that were the guy that played the Gorn was there. You know, it's just deaf as a stone. So he didn't understand anything that people were asking him. So he would just answer random answers to really weird questions. But there was one original cast member that had also been on Father's Knows Best, and every single question was about Father's Knows Best. It was just one of those oh my God, stop it. Can't you just... So after 2 days of these crazy questions, Marina Sirtis, Counselor Troy, in her panel,
yes,
forever won my gratitude and respect when she got the third question of in the episode, Data's Child or whatever, you worked with this actress, you know, who played Lol, Data's daughter. What was it like to work with her? And so their answer was, oh, she was great. Yeah, we liked her. She was great. And then Marina Sirtis stood up and was like, all right, let me tell you how questions work. Now, she did it in her Cockney accent, right? Because she's very... She's like, let me tell you how it works. Say, if you come up here and ask us, how is it to work with so-and-so, what are we going to say? There's cameras, there's recorders, there's press here. What can we say other than it's great to work with us? So if you have a question, if your question is, what was it like to work with so-and-so, go sit down now. Just go sit down.
I'll answer it now. It was great to work with
them. Go sit down now. But that was one of the funniest answers was how was it like to work with the Law character? Because Jonathan Frakes had directed that episode. And so the question was also what was it like to work with her? Also, how was it to direct that episode? And he was just she did such a great job of playing an android. And I basically told her, you know, this was the direction I gave her is watch everything that Data does and copy it. So I basically just told her to mimic Brad Spinner, the guy that plays our robot.
Brent, I think.
No, that was the joke. He was acting like he didn't know Brent Spiner's name. He just called him Brad Spinner, the guy that plays the robot. It was funny. You got to laugh. You got to laugh for the crowd. But the panels were great. The people were great. But the show itself is really geared towards, I don't want to say nickel and diming you because that's an understatement. It's kind of everything is revolving around you getting an autograph and a selfie with these people. An autograph costs a minimum of $20. So if you want an autograph of the guy that played the Gorn, that's $20. If you want an autograph from Nichelle Nichols, that's $100, right? If you want an autograph from, you know, someone in between there, you know, then it's $60. If you want a selfie with them, a picture with them, then the minimum cost on any picture is like $60. So if you want,
so all those selfies that Mark and Ed have with like every crew member from every ship, they paid for each and every one of those.
Yes. And it's that is the majority of what seems to be going on in a lot of the rooms. And this thing is just like these constant, endless lines of waiting to get autographs, waiting to get pictures, which is great if you do that. I mean, I'm not faulting the people who get autographs and pictures, but it's like, I don't really have an interest in that. I mean, I'm a good friend with, you know, the guy that plays Chakotay. He waved at me in the hallway, but, it's just like, I don't need to get their autographs and whatever. And it's like, but it's a lot of everything there is really kind of geared towards, you know, hey, this is an extra charge over here, and here's an extra charge over here, and here's you know, another, you know, pay us another. Do you want to get your picture made on this recreation of the bridge? Well, that's going to be $70. You know, it's like it's just everything is very much pay to do, as far as the stuff that the convention itself puts on. So like, this Creation Entertainment, the people that put on this event, are very much about getting more money out of you. The fact that the actors are up on stage giving you panels is kind of one of those things that they tolerate so that you'll pay to get pictures with them. And it's, it was, so that part I didn't like. I didn't like that. I also didn't like the fact that if you miss something, you missed it, because I'm used to BlizzCon where there's multiple panels going on in different rooms at the same time. But you, as by buying the ticket to the event, you also get a, you know, a code to go online and you can watch the video of anything you missed.
Right.
There's none of that. There's no way to go back. Like if you weren't sitting there for the Whoopi panel, you missed it. You can't go back and see it. You can't.
Were there multiples though going on at the same time?
Yeah, they had multiple ballrooms. Like that was, so the way it was worked out, is there was the main ballroom which sat 6,000 people, and that one, if you have your own seat, right? So it's like that's kind of like their catch. That's the way they do things. The main auditorium, you have your own seat, and that's your seat throughout the entire convention. It'll never be given to someone else. So anything that's going on in the main room, you have a guaranteed seat to be there for. And like my seat was in a pretty good spot. It was near one of the main, you know, video screens so that I could see really well what was going up on stage. So it's like that is it. But there's smaller ballrooms throughout that had breakouts panels, and those were the ones that you know. So if you didn't want to see something in the main, you could go to one of the other ones, but those were first come, first serve seating. So if you couldn't get into one, or if you couldn't find a seat in one, or if for some reason you missed it because, you know, you ate lunch or whatever, you could never see it again. So there's things, you know, you feel like you're missing a lot of stuff because it's all kind of going on at the same time. And there's no way to go back and catch up on it. But all in all, you know, I didn't like the way it was run. I thought it was run in a very kind of dated kind of a way. And I thought that it was very, I don't know, it felt like you were, you know, like you were at a car dealership, you know, it was like you just get sold things so many times. But then I thought about it after a couple of days. I'm like, well, I guess this is all stems from the fact that they don't actually own anything, right? It's like Creation Entertainment licenses the name Star Trek to do this convention. It's like when I go to BlizzCon, you know, Blizzard owns all of that IP, right? So it's like Blizzard can do all these panels and they can video all these panels and they can do whatever they want because it's their property, right? They can do with it what they want. By licensing the name Star Trek, they're limited to what they can do within the scope of that license that they were given, right? So they can't, maybe they can't do video. Maybe they have to pay extra to have, you know, the visage of these actors on some kind of camera, you know,
yeah
thing. So I don't know, it was just kind of weird. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I don't know that I would go for another few years, you know what I'm saying? Like I could see how like going every year would be draining, just because it's, you know, it's the same kind of panels over and over.
Did they have any actual original set pieces from any of the shows like around? Or because I saw some photos like somebody on a transporter. Was that the original transporter that was in the show?
No. And what you found out, you know, through most of these panels is that's a rarely recent thing. That's a fairly recent thing to save props and stuff like that. Is like most of those old props were destroyed. They're just like they don't exist. Just because.
Well, I know that for a long time there was that Star Trek Experience, and I don't know if that was any of the original stuff or not. But
some of the props that they had at the History of the Future Museum are real. And they like some of the original tricorders and some of the, like the medical tricorders, but the big set pieces have all long since been destroyed and gone. There's no real lasting of those things. primarily because they were made out of plywood and whatnot, and they needed to recycle them for the next week, you know. But the, what was I going to say? It was like the, there were photo ops all throughout the hallways. Like they had some Borg regeneration cubes, you know, chambers that you could stand and get your picture made in. And they had some transporter platforms you could stand on and do those. But those were just in the hallway and anyone could go up there and take a picture in them. They did a recreation of the bridge where you could go and have your picture made, but I really didn't have, that would cost money and I didn't really have an interest in doing that. Because also it was the original series bridge, and that's not the ship that I would want
to. I would want to do the TNG bridge,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
So, the coolest thing was I played cards with Connor Trinneer for a couple of hours one night. The guy that played Commander Tripp on Enterprise. He was a super nice guy. We chatted for a long time while we were playing Let It Ride, and he was very nice. I took a picture with him. So just basically I said, all right, look. And it's like, no one's going to believe me that I sat here and did this. I have to take a picture. So it's just like, you know. For my bona fides. But he was a nice guy. He was fun. I'll say I had a really great time. It was a fun event, but at the end of the day, you know, it kind of felt like, I don't know, it just kind of felt like, this is kind of sad. So Toppy Smelly in the chat room is saying, damn you, Daniel Brewer, stop disparaging TOS. I'm not disparaging TOS. I'm just saying that it's not my favorite. That's all. It's just not my favorite series. You're allowed to have whatever favorite series you would like, sir. Thank you. Also, I learned that it's not Garrett Wang, it's Garrett Wong that played Harry Kim. It's not Nana Visitor, it's Nana Visitor. I did not know that. Let's see. The panels.
So who was not there? But I still want to know who was there and who was not there. I mean, I know there's a long list.
Yeah, I would have to go into the other room and grab the book. A lot of people were there. It was the 50th anniversary, so there's a lot of people there. A whole lot of people. All of the, like, so the only...
Was Patrick Stewart there?
No. So Patrick Stewart and Avery Brooks were not there. Patrick Stewart, because of a scheduling something or other, and Avery Brooks, from what I understand from Cyrus Lofton, the guy that played Jake... said, Avery wishes he could be here and wants everyone to know that he's doing okay. I think maybe Avery Brooks is having some medical issues or you know, some health issues. The guy that played Sisko, Captain Sisko. The thing that I found odd was a lot of the panels, all of the panels were not the captains, right? The captains all had their own individual sets, right? So like, there was a panel for Enterprise, right, where Commander Reed and Lieutenant Reed and Tripp were there on that panel, along with the guy that played Dr. Phlox. So that was a panel. But then when Jonathan Arthur came out, you know, when Scott Bakula came out and did that, he came out on his own. So they never mixed the captains with the crew. And although the panels will talk about the captain, the Voyager panel talked about Kate Mulgrew, she was great. She never missed her line. She was really great. And she, you know, she was Kate never talked about the rest of the, it's like none of the captains ever talked about the rest of the cast, which I thought was weird. It's just like,
they're just like prima donnas or like divas.
I don't know. You know,
like,
it's like,
it's all about me, you know, not about the rest of the crew.
Yeah, they never talked about the rest of the crew, but the other panels all talked about them. So I don't know. You know what it was. It's like you can ask me someone specific, but I couldn't tell you every single person that was there, right? It's like there was a lot of people that were there. My favorites were the guy that played Rom and the guy that played Nog came out in costume and did about an hour long little bit and answering questions and stuff as Nog and Rom. That was really good. There was a couple of the panels that I thought were great. And a couple of the panels that I thought were really boring. Oh, what's that? What's that, Adam?
Wait. Oh, my God.
What's that?
The phone's ringing.
Well, then you should answer it. Oh, am I supposed to play the death? Or was that your way of cutting me off on the answer? Okay, fine.
Yeah, hi, guys. I see Chris for the Celebrity Death Phone. Postman Pat, or more accurately, Ken Barry, the voice of Postman Pat, dead at 73. Okay, bye.
No idea. Any idea who that is?
I don't know who that is. Who's Postman Pat?
I have no fucking idea who that is. Okay, great. Thank you so much, RT Cruiser. We're doing these two at a time here, so let's just grab this next one really quick.
Yeah, hi, guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Voice over actress, singer, Marnie Nixon, dead at 86. Hollywood's worst kept secret. She actually dubbed most of the voices for a lot of the singing female singers in the 1960s, including Deborah Kerr, or Deborah Kerr, for The King and I, and Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady, did get in front of the screen by playing one of the nuns in Sound of Music. Okay, bye.
I think that one counts.
Really?
I think that one counts. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Really? All right, fine.
She was the voice on The King and I. And
what is The King and I? I don't even know what that is.
It's a famous musical. It was a movie. It had Yul Brynner and
that guy that died from smoking?
I don't know. My mom was in that in college.
With Yul Brynner?
When she went back to college. No, just with someone else. But anyway, they did The King and I. The King and I. I said that, right?
You said The King and I. Hey, by the way, the Star Trek, so it was a lot of fun. I ran into Mark and Ed there. We had...
I didn't see a photo with the three of you.
Yeah, I posted a photo from Quark's Bar of Ed and Mark and I there in Quark's Bar. What else did we... We ate together at least once. We ate at one of the... One of the restaurants there at the Rio had a special Star Trek menu, so I had gah. I also got the Hasperat.
I saw that.
I got Hasperat at one point, but I got the gah and the Hasperat. They had Star Trek beer there, but they were always sold out of that, so didn't really get to try any of the Star Trek.
Did they have that blue liquor? I can't remember what it is, but I guess they didn't because you said the bar was just basically
it was a hotel bar, but they did have the two specialty drinks, and one of them was blue. It was called the James T. Kirk with T-E-A, like James T. Kirk, but it was made with blue Curacao, so it was basically a Long Island iced tea with Sprite instead of Coke.
What's the one, Aldebaran whiskey or Aldebaran that Scotty drank, and then there was some...
They didn't have that. Oh, yeah, one of the funnest things is like Damar... used to drink Kanar on Deep Space Nine. Like, he actually, like, Kanar... I mean, Damar in the later seasons, like, actually had a drinking problem, right? He was, like, the Cardassian that was just drinking himself into stupor. And Kanar, and it's like, Kanar is, like, this Cardassian drink that they have talked about through DS9 all the way through. So we found out from the Ferengis up on stage there that the actual mixture was dark Karo syrup in prune juice. And he actually had to sip it. So he actually had to sip this dark Karo syrup and prune juice. He said it was disgusting. It was vile. So
it must have been really sweet.
Yeah. So
because Karo syrup is very sweet, and
the other thing that they had there was a Ractigino. So those were the two specialty drinks. They had the James T. Kirk and the Ractigino, because that's what we drink on the swing shift. Ractigino. So
I didn't know what you were saying. So Yaz Mamadou in the chat room is saying you're mispronouncing that liquor.
Oh, it's Curacao? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's what you were saying.
It's blue triple sec.
It's Curacao.
It's blue triple sec. For God's sake. It's just an orange liqueur. Anyway, so there you go, Adam. I think I've bored you enough with the damn Star Trek conversation. The Rio was great. The Rio's actually getting really dated. You know what I'm saying? It's like the paint starting to peel on the outside. It's like just...
Is the Rio where I went to see Penn and Teller?
Yes. We walked past the Penn and Teller theater every day as we marched our way down to the Star Trek convention area. But yeah, it's like...
Were they doing a show while you were there?
I don't think so. I never saw anyone lined up there. So they may have been dark that week. It was the other thing I will say about them is like you're going to see a lot of numbers out there about the Star Trek convention. That the number that they love to throw around was 40,000. There's 40,000 people at a Star Trek convention. And on their website, they like to tout that they sold, congratulations, we booked 12,000 rooms at the Rio, which is the most that we ever did. It's like, so the things you need to know, the Rio only has 2,500 rooms total. So what they're talking about are room nights, and the main big theater where you're guaranteed a seat only holds 6,000. So there were only 6,000 people there, but they're counting them over 5 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like over 5.5 days, there were 40,000 people, which are basically the same 6,000 people counted in different ways.
We do that for our convention.
Yeah, compare that to, like, say, BlizzCon, which there are actually literally 25,000 people there in the Anaheim Convention Center. Like, that main theater there seats 12,500, so it seats half of the people. So it was crowded, but it wasn't, like, crazy crowded. It wasn't like San Diego Comic-Con or anything that's, like, huge. It was more like a big convention, but it wasn't huge, but it was big. So The one thing I will...
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
This is the one thing I did want to tell you. Because I know that that other show, that It's All About Me show, it's... Oh, hold on. Hold on. Yes, hello!
Hey, this is Mike in Austin, Texas. I am very, very sad to inform you that Uri Del Harris, better known as Miss Cleo, passed away on July 26th in Palm Beach County, Florida. Very sad day. I hope she saw it coming.
Oh, I had to wait for that joke. The old Miss Cleo didn't see it coming joke. There you go. Yes, congratulations, Mike. In Texas, that is Miss Cleo. And let's go ahead and get this last one out of the way here. Hello.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm Tim Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Author Tim LaHaye wrote those god-awful Left Behind novels, Dead at 90. Bye.
Okay, great. Tim LaHaye. Didn't he write the Left Behind series?
Yes, I think he's famous. Yeah.
For
being an author, you know.
Yeah, Toppy Smelly in the chat room is saying that William Shatner made a good half dozen or more made-for-TV movies where he acted his little heart out that were all really amazing. Here's the thing. Even though the original series is not my favorite, William Shatner is just a great storyteller. He really is. He was like, you know, his hour up there on stage when he told stories, they were great. They were amusing. He definitely has command over the audience. He's like, you know, I remember that as a kid when I would see him on the Johnny Carson show, on The Tonight Show, or any of those other talk shows where they would, you know, when he was on TJ Hooker at the time and they would interview him on these shows. He was just really great at telling stories. It's like he's a very engaging storyteller. And so it was a great panel. I mean, like the Shatner was one of my favorites that he did there. He was great. I didn't care for the original series as much as the others, but I thought Shatner was great. Anyway. There you go, Adam. That was it. So the one thing I wanted to tell you about, because you are a trumpeter, so you will enjoy this.
Yes, I am.
So on the Saturday night of this 5-day convention, they brought in the Nevada Pops to play for us, you know, a Star Trek-themed concert.
Yeah, I saw a post on Facebook about that.
Yeah. So you got to keep your original seat. And so they cleared us all out of the main room. They closed the main room so they could set up the orchestra and whatever. And then they let us back in. And it says in all the things, like, the doors open at 9:15. Now, Adam, if the doors open at 9:15, what time would you think that the concert started? Now, keep in mind, this is the same theater we've been in all week long. It's got 6 different entrances to it. So it's not like, you know, you can load that room really fast. There's a lot of ways into that room. So it's like...
I don't know. I think normally in a theater, they open about... In a smaller theater, which I would consider that to be small-ish, 15 minutes or maybe at most a half an hour before.
Yeah, you would think that.
Something like that.
No, Adam, no. They didn't even stand up to start tuning until 9:55. So it's just like you were sitting in this room for 45 minutes. There was no addendum there. Oh, by the way, the concert starts at 10. Right? So you're waiting 45 minutes for this concert to start. And they give you a separate little printout. So here's most of the 6,000 seat room is covered up with package tickets, right? So I was part of the copper, which are the last of the package tickets, right? So we were in the mid back section, and then ahead of us were the commander's section, and then the gold section, and the captain's chair section, which, you know, are smaller, but they got more stuff with their packages. So this concert was included with my package, right? So I got my same seat, but behind me were general seating. So there were some people that paid an extra $60 just to go to this concert. Like people that had just paid for the general admission for the day. They could pay, you know, seating provided, you know, seating availability, you know, whatever I'm trying to say.
So this is the theater that was the big one.
Yes.
Where like the big, huge panels were.
Yep.
So you're saying just buying a ticket to the event didn't get you a seat there. You had to buy one of the premium packages.
Right. For the concert,
for
the Pops concert, yes.
Oh, for the concert,
right, just
okay.
For the Pops concert. So we're there, and it sat there for 45 minutes. Now, my only complaint with that was because I would rather have been out at the bar having some more drinks instead of, you know, rushing in there to sit there.
Because you have a guaranteed seat, so it's not
like
you need
to
get there.
I know, that was my thing, yeah. All right, but then this is what happened. The Pops guy came out, the conductor came out finally. Right at 10 o'clock. And they gave us a separate menu, not a menu, what am I trying to say? A separate program for the Pops concert, you know, a listing of here's what we're going to play. And I'm sitting there as I'm waiting for the thing to start. I'm sitting there calculating up all the times because it's like, you know, this first piece is 15 minutes long and then here's another piece. And it's just like, I mean, it's an hour and a half long program. So it's an hour and a half long Pops concert. It's going to start at 10 o'clock. And he comes out there with this huge pile of music, you know, that he drops down on the stage and makes a big boom on the stage. Like, oh, this is how much we're going to go through here. And you're really going to get your money's worth tonight because we're going to go through all of this, you know, material here and blah, 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 blah. And it was all Star Trek theme stuff that they were playing. The problem is the first 45 minutes of this concert were the original series themes. They did two different versions of the original series themes and then the five original movies, which were all the same. So they're literally playing the same song over and over and over again for 45 minutes. And the guy...
I love those themes.
But I do too, but not... Right, so like I'm looking down the concert, I'm like, oh my god, when are you getting to the Deep Space Nine theme or something that changed this up, right? And it's like, and after the third version of the Star Trek theme, he's like, you'll notice as we go along that the tempo picks up, and each iteration, as each new composer adds their pieces to it, they accelerate the tempo to it, which is, and now here's that fucking theme again. It's just like, it was so boring, Adam, and there was no bar in the room, and so it's like between every song, like every little 15 minute song, I would see people get up and walk out, and then the next song would play, and then I'd see more people get up and walk out. And it's like, I made it through four songs. That's as far as I made it. I made it through.
But in all fairness, Daniel, I mean, you're used to, you know, the kind of concerts that you're used to happen in smoky bars that have a back room that you can, you know, saunter off to if you get a little bored.
Yes.
So that you don't frequent operas or orchestral concerts very often.
I do not. But so. And I think that they so misread this. That is so typical, though, of that genre, right? It's just kind of like the, you know, oh, we're going to do a Pops concert and let's all like, you know, bask in the tedium of this repetitiveness and like, you know, just these minor variations of this theme. And that may be great for, you know, these people that have season tickets or whatever, and they really support the Pop, but you're at a Star Trek convention. It's like, it was just a total misread of the room as far as I was concerned. It's just like for people to get up and walk out. It's like, honestly, as part of a Star Trek convention, you should have just come in and played 30 minutes worth of material. You should have played one of each theme song and we'd have all been happy and you would have gotten paid the same and yay, hooray. But it's like, it became like this drudged down like movie theory class, right? You know, it's like where we had to listen to this stuff. So I left. I went.
They do that. I mean, that's typical.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So I went and got a drink.
Concert.
I left. I made it through. I think Mark and Ed sat through the whole thing. So I'm sure you'll hear on their show how wonderful it was and how I'm such an uncouth individual that I can't appreciate pop music or music plays. But Yasmin Badu wants to know if they used a theremin. They did not. And that was the other thing that really annoyed me is if you know the Star Trek theme, you know that it first starts with the mid brass. So like your trombones, right? Giving the first theme so that the trombones play the theme first. And then the high brass take over for the main theme, right? So it's like the trumpets and everything. First trumpet was flat and it drove me nuts because it's like they carry the weight of the theme and it's like, dude, you're flat. Oh my God, this is so annoying. I don't know why the conductor didn't stop and make him like tune his trumpet.
I don't, because they're not going to stop. Excuse me, principal trumpet.
I would.
Can you tune yourself here? Here's a pocket tuner I've got right here.
I would. I'd be like, dude, it was so horrible. Anyway, Adam, well, that was the Star Trek.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
That was the Star Trek convention. I don't want to like, I don't know. Go ahead. Go with your next thing. Go.
Well, I don't have too much on this. Your topics are much more girthy than mine are. but I did want to mention, you have much girthier topics, mm-hmm. Daniel. I did want to mention that.
So sorry.
No,
well,
course,
hold on a second. Here, hold on a second, Adam. Yeah,
I thought we were done with those.
Yeah, hi guys, Auntie Christopher, the celebrity guest again. Not that you'll care about this one, but acting legend Vivian Grey played Mrs. Mengele on the Soapy Neighbours and also Ida Jessops on The Sullivan, both iconic Australian soapy roles. Okay, bye.
I'm going to say this, RT Cruiser. Congratulations, you are correct. We don't care about it.
So have you been watching the Olympics?
No, I haven't. I have not.
You haven't?
No.
So we have been an all Olympics house for the past week.
Wow.
And I actually, while I was in Washington, invited my aunt and uncle over to my grandparents' house, and we played cards and watched the opening ceremony. And just a couple of things. If you were going to watch the Olympics, do you have a favorite sport?
I believe I'm contractually obligated to say men's gymnastics. Isn't that what I have to say as a gay man, that I'm supposed to say that?
You know, my favorite My favorite sport is actually the women's gymnastics.
Okay.
I like the men's gymnastics, but I'm a competitive person, and I want America to win everything.
Yes.
I want us to get the gold in everything, and our men's gymnastics team always sucks.
Oh.
They always, you know, they come in with high hopes, and then somebody falls off the pommel horse, and then someone else falls off the pommel horse, and then, I don't know, you know, whatever. And speaking of pommel horse.
Yes.
Do you know what that is? I mean, do you know what pommel horse is?
That's the, it's that, the, yes, the big, looks like a wedge or whatever that they has the.
Mm-hmm. It's the padded thing with the handles, and
yeah,
they like spin around it. Who came up with this event? Like, I mean, what is it? Like, let's put this padded, you know, like the bull riding thing.
If only,
you know,
if only there was an electronic device hooked up to your computer that you could literally ask the question.
And let's have them spin around and do handstands on this thing. I don't quite understand, you know, where that came from. Yes, I could look it up, but it's more amusing just to sit there and think, God, where did that come from? You know, oh, let's do. Anyway, so we've been watching though. I also like swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Men's swimming is more entertaining.
Okay.
Because they always have the nice bodies.
Hey, it didn't, what's his name, like, make a record?
Make a record.
Michael
Phelps?
Yeah, doesn't Michael Phelps now, like, have won the most gold medals of anyone?
He has the most gold medals or medals of anyone in Olympics history, yes.
There you go. Congratulations, Michael Phelps.
And he says he's going to retire now, officially.
Yay for him.
He is not going to be doing the Olympics anymore. So we've been watching swimming. But one thing I will tell you about the Olympics, and everyone complains about this, and I don't really think they can avoid it, but because they broadcast it, they tape delay it.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because Toppy Smelly posted a picture of a cat on a pommel horse in the chat room, and it's very amusing.
Oh, none of his pictures are coming or showing up unless you click on them.
Well, that's fine.
But
that would be your,
because
that would be
they tape delay.
Go ahead.
Because they tape delay, I can't. Look at any social media.
Which is so weird because they're only an hour ahead of us on East Coast. It's like, why are they tape delaying? It's like, this seems like there should be a lot of stuff live this year.
I think what they want to do, and I'm not going to pro or con that and say, you know, that they're doing a horrible job. I don't have a problem with NBC's coverage, although the Ryan Seacrest bit that starts at like 11:30 p.m.
Yeah, keeping in mind, I don't watch any of this, so I don't know.
No, I know, okay. But I don't think he's done a great job. I don't. Other than being the host of American Idol, I just don't think he's a good host.
Are you kidding me? On America's Top 40 every week, he does great. That's what I'm told.
Well, so I loved the gymnastics so far because we've taken the spoiler for anyone who hasn't watched these events yet. The women took the team gold and the individual all around. One of our women got the gold and one of our women got the silver. And then the diving, I will tell you, I'm pro UK for diving.
That's because you like, what's his name? Tom.
I like Tom Daly.
Yeah, Tom Daly. I could see. Yeah. I knew that. I could predict that. Yeah.
The pool.
Go ahead.
The pool turned green. The diving pool.
Why?
Well, they think it was algae.
Oh, okay.
What I heard today when we were watching it is someone put hydrogen peroxide in the pool.
Oh, that.
And it counteracted any effect that the chlorine had at all.
Right, exactly.
And algae started growing.
Nice.
And so I know those NBC folks are like yelling at the Olympics people in Rio because it's ruining their video, because the swimming pool looks crystal clear and blue and, you know, great and pretty, and it's a great video shot, and right next to it is the diving pool,
which is an
that looks like
pond.
A swamp.
Yeah, here you go. Here's the algae pond
it,
where you dive
it
in.
It looks like the swamp thing is going to come up out of that thing. It's horrible. It's hideous.
You know what? I've always had this problem with the Olympics, right? It's like they're being like ultra draconian over on YouTube as well. Like they have filters in place that if you like post the rings, like if you post the rings within your video, they automatically do a takedown of your video. So it's like if you have a YouTube video and you post one up that has like the Olympics logo somewhere in it, it's like, because all of that takedown stuff is automated, right? They look for different signatures for different sound clips and pictures and whatever. So it's like they are literally just like broad sweeping, taking down anything that has the Olympic rings in it because, of course, it's copyrighted and you can't. So it's like you can't talk about the Olympics. You can't, it's like, you can't play the Olympic theme songs. You can't do any of that stuff on YouTube. It's like, but it's all become this huge thing, right? It's like how many billions of dollars were spent on this, you know, building all of these villages and everything. And all you have to do is go to Google and look at former Olympic sites to see like how quickly they decay. They're not used anymore. It's like they're that egg, you know, the bird's nest that they had in China that they built that, you know, it's like now already like in ruins and like they don't use it. And it's just,
regardless, Daniel, you're poo-pooing on something that loads of people love.
You're the one that was talking about the algae-filled diving pool.
No, I think Rio has messed up a few things. Ryan Lochte and a few of the swimming folks were held up at gunpoint.
Yeah, I saw that.
After they won their meet.
By fake cops.
They were going to meet somebody at a bar or something, and they, you know, they got held up at gunpoint.
Yeah, and there's
the pool's turning green.
Yeah, and then you had that douchebag reporter that did the Grindr story that like outed a whole bunch of people who are from countries where like gay, you know, being gay is illegal, and it's like
yeah, that was horrible as well. So you know, but anyway, I looked up a couple of things because I wanted to know, because all these people, they say, oh, are you going to be here, you know, in Tokyo in 4 years, right? And I got to wondering, as you get older, because these folks train for like, I don't know, like massive amounts of time every day. And I'm just wondering, like, how do they make money? Because like when you're in high school, like the younger ones, you know, they're in school and they're living with their parents, and their parents must be rich or something because they're paying for them to have this training and everything. And then you go to college, and I assume they're training in the college pools, and you know, they're training with college coaches. Well, maybe again, they have rich mommy and daddy and they're paying these trainers. But some of these, like when they get like the swimmers, like they were asking Ryan Lochte, they were like, are you going to, now he's a bad example, but I'm going to use him for a second. They were like, are you going to be back in Tokyo? And he says, and he basically says, yeah, he's going to be back in Tokyo. But what I was wondering is, they have to work out so much during the 4 years between each Olympics,
yeah,
and go to all these swim meets and gymnastics or whatever they're doing. They can't hold down a full-time job.
That is their full-time job.
Pays you.
Absolutely, they do. Do you not see all of the corporate logos all over their uniforms? That's what that is. In other words, hey, Ryan Lochte, I will give you $100,000 a year as long as every time I see you, you have the Cheetos logo on your jacket. It's just like,
see, I haven't seen any corporate logos on them. They do get endorsements.
They're not allowed to have the corporate logos on during the Olympics because that violates the terms of the IOC, right? It's like, but you will see them, you know, throughout the rest of the time, throughout the rest of the year. It's like you'll see them on cereal boxes, on, you know, endorsing products and everything. They get paid for that. They get paid more than you make in a year to do those things. So it's like they get paid. They get paid very well.
So I looked it up, and actually the United States is cheap.
Yes.
Because we don't pay our athletes, you know, they don't get any kind of salary or anything like that. But we do give them money. It is very typical for countries to give money to the athletes if they win a medal. Mm-hmm. And so if you win a gold medal as a U.S. athlete, you get $25,000. Mm-hmm. If you win a silver medal, you get $15,000. Mm-hmm. And if you get a bronze medal, you get $10,000.
So just looking here on the old internet, Ryan Lochte made $2.3 million in 2012, by the way. Because he was sponsored by Speedo, Gatorade, Nissan, Ralph Lauren, and AT&T. And that was just the year of the London Olympics. So,
and that's kind of why I said, because also they said Michael Phelps has made $12 million a year since the 2012 Olympics. But that's what I'm saying. Forget about those very high profile folks, right?
No. But the rest of them, do you not notice, is like the like Snickers sponsors the entire team. And it's like there's a base salary that you get paid as an Olympic athlete.
The U.S. doesn't pay it.
No, it's paid by sponsors.
I looked it up. No, maybe so. Anyway, basically it just said if they get a sponsorship, but I think that's individual to the athlete. If the company
Correct.
Likes their performance and thinks they're high profile enough.
Correct.
And then you win that piddly little amount.
Right.
And I understand $25,000 is not a piddly amount, but when you're having to train for 4 years and you win one gold medal, let's say, mm-hmm. $25,000 is not going to get you
But no one has just one sponsor. And this whole thing happens in esports as well, right? It's like you ask yourself the question, like, how do people make a living playing Overwatch? It's like, because they have sponsors. It's like literally teams come in and sponsor them. They sponsor the entire team. This is like, we'll pay $100,000 a year to have, NVIDIA written on all your jackets and whatever. It's like, and so they will do that. But NVIDIA is not the only sponsor. So it's like, if you have a 5-man team and you have more than 5 sponsors, then you're pretty much set. You can pay everyone $100,000, right, a year to basically be a professional video. Now, if they win or if they're a really high profile team, they can make a lot more. But there is a base level, sports type endorsement that is paid by these, that is what companies do. Companies do this. They want to put their logos on things, right? And so
now
sports is a big thing.
Let's compare to some other countries. Singapore, if you win a gold medal, you get $741,000.
Yeah.
For silver, you get $371,000. For bronze, you get $185,000. One of the countries, I don't remember if it was Singapore or Malaysia or whatever, you actually get a gold bar if you win a gold medal. That's worth like $600,000. You get a gold bar. We give $25,000.
Yeah, but...
gold. But anyway.
Again, it's...
I'm just thinking... What if I'm the, the hacky sack? I'm trying to think of like some really obscure sport, somebody like nobody watches that sport.
Yeah.
And, I'm the nose picking champion of the U.S.,
yeah.
And I need to train. I need to pick my nose 60 hours a week, but between now and 2020.
Yeah.
To get ready.
Right, but what you fail to realize is that, all right, so there is no nose picking competition, but it's like almost any competition that is going to be in the Olympics, there is somebody that makes equipment for that. There's some company that makes equipment for that sport that wants, it's like someone said in the chat room, like disc golf or something, right? Then Whammo is going to come in and it's like, it's cheap for them to spend $100,000 a year to sponsor an athlete that is going to elevate their brand. It's not like you can advertise Frisbee on Saturday morning TV. It's like the people that are watching that are really into Frisbee. So it's like, that's a very targeted advertising, right? If I can get people that are watching that really are into Frisbee to see this professional Frisbee player using Whammo Frisbees, then I'm going to sell more Whammo Frisbees, right? And it all works somehow. I don't know.
One other piece of trivia, and then I'm done with the Olympics. I was curious, the oldest person in the Olympics this year, because they always talk about people being too old to do things. Oh, they're so old, they have to get out of this sport or whatever.
Yes.
The oldest person in the Olympics this year is 52, and he's an equestrian.
Yeah.
Whatever that, the horse, riding horses.
That is equestrian.
And I think the youngest is 13 or 14 this year. And then the oldest ever person to win a medal mm-hmm. was 72 years old.
I think, I think as far as I can relate this back to podcasting, I think we should set a new rule that there should be an age by which you're required to retire from podcasting. I say 61. What do you say? 61? I think 61 is a great age to retire from podcasting.
Or after 3,000 episodes. Whichever comes first.
Thank you very much, Big Fatty. All right, I don't want to go on this because we've just been talking too much. But as some of you who follow me on social medias may know, I had a bit of a tough time getting home from the Star Trek convention. As I left the 23rd...
They didn't just beam you home?
I know, I was going to say, as I left the 23rd and 24th century, you'd think maybe they could transport me home. Maybe I could just use some transporter rations, some transporter credits or something like that. No. No runabouts in sight. I actually had to use the 21st century air travel. And unbeknownst to me, I guess, because, we didn't have a lot of news there in the casino, but I guess Delta had a big, huge fuck up with their computers on Monday. So I'm sitting there. I know that Mark and Ed had a really early flight on Monday morning. My flight was like mid-afternoon on Monday. So I was supposed to fly out at like 2:51 Monday afternoon. I wake up on Monday morning, I look at my phone, and I had an alert that my flight had been delayed. So I looked down it, and it's like, oh, my flight has now been delayed until 8 o'clock. So, no, I'm sorry. It had been delayed to like 6 o'clock. So it's like, it went from 2:51 to 6 o'clock p.m. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I have some more time. So, you know, I kind of didn't worry about it. You know, I was like, I had a rental car, and it was like, I knew that I you know, I had to return the rental car by 8 o'clock at night, or else I'd have to pay for another day. But I was good. And it's like, all right, well, cool, that's fine. So I'll just, you know, chill out. I'll go eat a nice lunch somewhere and whatever, and just go to the airport a little later. So I start to do that, and I get a little, I get another alert. It's like, oh, your flight has been canceled. So I was like, oh, now suddenly my flight home has been canceled.
That's never good.
And no problem. I have the Delta app on my phone. I pull up my Delta app on my phone, and it says, hey, your flight has been canceled. Press here to find alternate flights. So I press the little button to find an alternate flight, and it says, we suggest that you take the 11:20 flight out tonight. It's a red eye. It's going to take you to Atlanta and then take you to Hartford, and you'll be there by 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. Now, I was supposed to arrive home. Originally, I was supposed to arrive home like at 11 p.m. Monday night. So I say, okay, cool. I can do that. I can do an overnight. That's fine. I can do that. So I hit the little, yes, I will take this. I will go ahead. Please go ahead and do that for me. So they did that for me. Now remember, I had to return my rental
car. Well, that's cool that you can do all that from the app.
Well, here's the problem, Adam. You're going to find the problem with that in just a moment. So I did that. I rescheduled on the app. It was very nice. It was very convenient. I was now rescheduled on 11:20 flight. I was good to go. But now I had a problem that is like, oh, well, I don't have a hotel room because I've checked out, right? It's noon.
Right.
But no problem. I've been playing the Las Vegas slots game on Facebook. I know I have enough points for, this is a Monday afternoon. I know I have enough points for a midweek room, you know, for a Monday night room. I'm sure I can get a comp room somewhere. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'll go down to the Excalibur. I'll just get a comp room there because it's close to the airport. And at least that way I can take a nap. You know what I'm saying? I can take a nap. I can take a shower before my flight. You know, it's at 11 o'clock tonight. I got to return my rental car at 8. So here's the plan. New plan. I'm going to go down to the Excalibur. I'm going to take a lap. You know, I take a nap. I just like kind of hang out, you know, play around at the Excalibur. I'll leave there right before 8 o'clock, go return my rental car, take the shuttle back to the airport. And then I'll, you know, I'll eat dinner at the airport because that'll kill the hour and a half before they start boarding my flight. And there we go. Problem solved.
Wow, you're such a planner. Like, you have it all planned out. Like, you had a Google Calendar entry for things.
So I do that, right? I take a nap, and I go downstairs and play some games at the Excalibur, and it gets time for me to leave, and I look at my Delta thing, and it still says that my flight is on time at 11:20. So it's like, all right, cool, I'm ready to go. I go and get my car, I leave. I go return my car, I get to the airport, and I go to the counter to check in, and they're like, okay, well, your flight has now been delayed till 12:50. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Will I still make my connecting flight? And, oh, yeah, you're just going to be delayed. You're good. So I went ahead and I checked in for my flight. I gave them my baggage, right? I gave them my bag. I had no reason to believe that anything was wrong here, so I go. I have got like 2.5 hours to kill. So I'm like, oh, well, there's a California Pizza Kitchen up on that gate, you know, up on that I went through security. I went to California Pizza Kitchen. I ordered some food. And as I'm sitting there eating my ridiculously overpriced appetizer, which, by the way, Adam, they did bring out first. As I'm eating my appetizer, they come back at I'm no longer getting alerts, even though I'm signed up for text alerts. Right, I got no alert that my flight had been delayed to 12:50. But when I brought up my Delta app and looked at it, it told me 12:50. Herein lies the problem, by the way, Adam, and I'll explain this in a second. But so I'm sitting there eating my appetizer at California Pizza Kitchen. I happen to pull out my phone, right, because I'm, you know, Facebooking and I'm taking pictures and I'm posting stuff on Facebook. And so I just happen to bring up the Delta app and I look at my flight. My flight is now delayed until 8:45 the next morning.
Will you still make your connection?
No. And but here's the worst thing is that now it's like that I'm no longer getting alerts. Apparently, in the Delta system, once you do that first transfer to a different airline, or once you're off your primary reservation, you're no longer a first class citizen in the Delta system, right? They have a bad database structure that doesn't allow them to stack up the number of cancellations that you have, but you're no longer given the option. So it's like, even though I still had the button that says find alternate flights, I could press that button and I could see alternate flights. But if I tried to switch to one of them, it's like, we're sorry, a gate agent will have to help you with this. So it's like, now I was no longer able to use any of the online tools. Not only that, they canceled 250 flights. None of us were able to use any of the online tools. After that first time, you're no longer considered, you know, now you're a special case and you have to use the airport system. So you no longer get text alerts. You no longer get any kind of alerts on your app. You were just like an orphan in the system.
You know what you needed to do? Seriously, there is an app that I use called TripIt, and I have TripIt Pro. And I don't know, there's some yearly fee, but they actually check all of this stuff. They have computer systems and they send you alerts.
But here's the thing.
So I get alerts from my app.
Regardless. So now I'm looking. All right. So it's 8:45. So 8:45 tomorrow morning. Well, I'm not going to sleep in the airport. I still have a room in the Excalibur, right? Because I don't have to check out of the room in the Excalibur until the noon the next day. I'm like, all right, fine. You know what? Fine. I'm just going to take an Uber back to Excalibur. I can sleep. You know, I don't have my luggage anymore, but it's fine, right? I can sleep. I can go to the little sundry store there and buy a toothbrush and some toothpaste. And it's like, I'll just go back to Excalibur. I'll get up early tomorrow morning, come back down here, and we'll start this again. And because then I can go to the gate agent and have them try to check me in. So I get back to the Excalibur. I stay up for a little while playing some games or whatever. I ate some food. I went upstairs to go to bed. And right, just for some reason, before I went to bed, I happened to look at my Delta app again. And now they have me on a completely different flight that's taking off at 7 a.m. Again, no alerts, no whatever. You just have to, like, by the seat of your pants, keep looking at this app. But I looked at that app, and it had me all the way through to Hartford. So it's like it was a 7 a.m. flight that went someplace, and then there was a connecting flight, and then another connecting flight, and I would be home by 9 o'clock Tuesday night. Right? So almost 24 hours later than when I was supposed to be home.
Okay.
And for those of you who know the punchline to this, for those of you who know the resolution to this, and I know a lot of you ask me, this, like, why didn't you switch airlines? Why didn't you do whatever? You have to understand, it was a lot of little reasonable things, right? It's like, oh, okay, now your 8:45 flight is now a 7 a.m. flight, but you're going to get home. And I, you know, it's like, you know, I know enough not to go flying off into the Midwest in the middle of the night, right? Because there's not going to be a connecting flight until the next day, right? I had a hotel room where I was at. I was good to sit around until 7 a.m. in the morning. So I get up at 5 a.m. I take my Uber down to the airport. I get a huge line at the Delta. There's no possible way I'm going to make it up to the gate agent to get checked in for these flights. I can't.
There were news stories about the long lines. I know. In fact,
I got, you know, it's like I couldn't get up to the counter to check in, right? And I couldn't check in on my app. I couldn't use the kiosk to check in because reference back to the fact that I'm now no longer in the system that way. I can only check into things through an agent. So I had my boarding pass from the canceled flight the night before. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go try to Buffalo my way past TSA with my boarding pass for my canceled flight. And then when I get out to the gate, they can check me in there. There'll be less of a line out at the gate for this specific flight than this huge queue that I'm sitting at right now. So that's what I did. So, and the TSA people didn't even look at the ticket, didn't even question the fact that this was a flight that was supposed to take off the day before. Because of course it was Delta and everybody was having problems. So I get through TSA, I get out to the gate. There's no agent at my gate, but there's an agent at the adjacent gate who's helping one person. That person leaves. I'm standing there. I smile at her. I go over and I'm like, hi, I don't know if you can help me. I do the as charming as I can, like, hi, you know, I don't know if you can help me or not, but it says I can't check in without a gate agent. Could you check me in? I mean, I have the flight, you know, here's my information. Could you just check me? She starts bringing up, saying, oh, wait, what's this? Wait, why are they doing that? Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, you wouldn't make that flight. Oh, no, we can't. It's like, so she's like, so they're rearranging my stuff for me.
Yeah, she's.
I wish I would have written down her name. She was just so nice. It was just like, in other words, she saved me hours of headaches by basically, you know, like fixing the problems and getting me into a flight that worked. So, you know, I thanked her. She assigned me a seat. I'm ready to go. So this new checked at this point in time, it's the same thing. I'm going to leave at 7 a.m. I'm going to fly to Minneapolis. I've got a 3-hour layover in Minneapolis, and then I'm going to fly to Cleveland. And then I'm going to take the last flight out of Cleveland to get to Hartford. I'll be at Hartford by, 10:30 p.m. or something around there, 9:30, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So still good. Still going to get home Tuesday night. All right. So I take the first flight, goes to Minneapolis as scheduled. I get there to Minneapolis. Now you have to understand, I don't have my luggage. All I have with me is my laptop case, which has my tablet, a battery pack for my tablet, and but I didn't have a cable because that was packed in my suitcase. And I didn't have an electrical plug because that was packed in my suitcase, because why would I need these things, right? I didn't have my power for my laptop because it didn't fit well in the case. And so I'd put that in my luggage because I had no, I didn't know that I was going to get stuck in an airport for days. So I get to Minneapolis, and I'm chatting with people on Facebook and doing stuff, and my battery is getting low. And Joe Batance called me at one point, and I'm just like, I can't really talk. I have 10% battery left. It's like, I can't really. So I finally bought the bullet and went and bought a way overpriced cable so that I could charge my phone, because there's plenty of places to sit there with the cord plugged in. So then the worst thing in the world happens, Adam. That middle flight, the flight from Minneapolis to Cleveland, gets delayed. Gets delayed by 2 hours. Now, keep in mind, I had a 3-hour layover, and then I was scheduled for another hour and a half layover in Cleveland. Right, this flight gets delayed by 2 hours, but the arrival time is 7:10, and my departure time of my Cleveland flight is 7:15. So I have 5 minutes to make that connection.
Well, I've had situations like that before, and they closed the door. Mm-hmm. You can't, even if you ran, they closed the door.
So I went to the gate like a good boy. I went to the gate and I was like, hey, here's the thing. You've got me on this flight and I've got a connecting flight in Cleveland that leaves like 5 minutes later. Am I going to make that? Do I need to rebook something else? And he like tippy types around. He's like, you know what? There's 16 people on your plane that have that same connection. And that's a commuter plane. That is that's a third of the plane. So they will probably hold it because a third of you will be on that plane. And you're going to arrive in gate B5 and it takes off from gate B6. So it's literally the next gate over. So you don't have to go, it's literally one gate next to it. It's the adjacent gate. And, 16 of you are in the same boat. So I think you're fine. Now, I wish I had his name, because he's the Delta employee that sucks, because then what happens is we get on our plane, our 2-hour delayed plane, and the captain comes on and says, oh, the reason you were delayed is because we had a broken flibber jam, but they're just now...
I hate that.
They just now are replacing it with the paperwork, and then there was going to be another 45 minutes before we can take off. And I'm like,
Oh God.
So I knew at that point in time, all right, no. So now I'm sitting there madly refreshing my app, hoping that my Cleveland flight gets delayed, right? It's like, that's my only saving grace, is that my Cleveland flight gets delayed in some way, shape, or form. I can't get off the plane. I can't, I'm already on my plane. I'm already checked in. I can't do anything to just sit there and wait. We arrive at Cleveland 2 hours late. That flight did not get delayed. In fact, that flight landed in Hartford before we landed in Cleveland. I get to the gate and I said to the, it's like, all right, well, and I, obviously there are 16 of us, right? So there's an older couple that was there at one agent, and I was at the agent next to me. Like, what are my choices? Well, our next flight to Hartford is at 7:15 tomorrow night. So they literally wanted me to stay there for 24 hours. Basically.
What time was it?
That I, 9:40, it was like 9:45 p.m.
Yeah.
And
the next flight was 7-something the next evening?
Yeah, 7:30 the next day. That's the next flight to Hartford. 7:30. They only do one flight to Hartford every day, and that's the one, 7:30 in the night. So, we can put you up at the Sheraton, and you can stay. You can take that flight. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm already over a day past when I was supposed to get home. Right. Now I wouldn't get home until 9 o'clock the next night, Wednesday night. And that's provided that nothing happened. That's provided that nothing else happened. So I know, I'm so sorry, chat room. I know this is the most boring story ever. I really realize that this is the most boring story ever. I apologize. So I said to him, a light bulb goes off and I'm like, do you have flights to New York? Do you have any flights to New York? He's like, Oh yeah. We got flights to New York. I'm like, all right, cool. Can you put me on a plane to LaGuardia? What's the earliest flight you can get me to LaGuardia tomorrow? Oh, there's a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow morning for LaGuardia. 6:43. I'm like, excellent. Put me on that plane. Put me on that plane. I'll take the train from, you know, New York back to Connecticut. That's fine. I can do that. I can do. I'll get home by noon. Right. So it's like, fine. I'm ready to do that. The older couple next to me, they were like trying the same thing. They're like, well, can you get me to Boston? Can you get me to where I'm like, I got this, folks. Just get on that flight to LaGuardia. You know, I'm on the same flight. I'll help you. I know which bus to take and how to get to the train. It's like, you know, you can follow me. I'll be happy to help you with that. And so they're like, their names, by the way, were Alan and Susan. They were an adorable couple from
Daniel Brewer, from tour guide.
I know. They were an older couple from Anchorage, Alaska. They were so nice. We got put up at the same hotel. So we went and we had dinner together at the hotel and we, you know, shared pictures of our pets with each other. And they were great. They were a lovely couple. So the next morning we figured that we needed to take the 5 a.m. shuttle the next morning to get back to the airport, which is right next door to the Sheraton, so that we could make our 6:43 flight. Right. Cause, thankfully they managed to find my luggage, which I guess was on the plane or something. So I had my luggage. So I once again had a toothbrush and toothpaste and could change clothes, right? So I could take a shower and change clothes and get my batteries and stuff. And so I was happy with that. So I get up the next morning, 4:30 a.m., right? Jump in the shower, get ready, get dressed, put on fresh new clothes, ready to go, head downstairs. And because the Sheraton is an airport hotel, they have monitors in the lobby that show all the flights, just like they do at the airport. Right. So I go to the, I get down there, I'm waiting for the shuttle to show up. I look up and my flight has been delayed. So my 6:43 flight is now an 8:43 flight. And I'm like, my first thought was, God damn it, I could have slept another hour. And then the second thought was like, of course. So I get on the shuttle. I go to the airport. I get there. Alan and Susan are actually checking in at the agent next to me as I'm checking in and checking my baggage. And I'm like, and the little lady, which I did remember her name this time, her name is Michelle, that works in the Cleveland Delta Delta Airlines in Cleveland. Michelle,
if you're listening,
Michelle,
thank
oh my
you.
God, you are a godsend. So I get there and they're like going, so Susan and Alan are like, oh my God, you know, our flight, you know, is delayed. And they're saying it's going to be really delayed. And Michelle says, yo, I have you on the 9:30 flight to, you know, I'm like, wait a second. You changed my flight again without telling me? Like I'm on a brand new flight now? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you do realize this is the sixth flight in 3 days that you guys have put me on that has been canceled. It's just like, this is insane. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And it's like, here, let me. And so I think it was Alan that had the idea. He's like, wait a second, how about Kennedy? And so they're like, oh yeah, there's a 6 a.m. flight to Kennedy that is not delayed and it's got seats. I'm like, excellent. Put me on the goddamn Kennedy. It's like, are there 3 seats? Put us all on the Kennedy flight. We'll just, you know, it's a longer commute, but we can take the subways and get to Grand Central. All right. So that's cool. We can do that. So they put us on this Kennedy flight and Alan and Susan leave because they're through the pre-check stuff so they can get to the gate. Right. And Michelle looks at me and she's like, honey, it's 5:15 and this flight leaves at 6. You're not going to make it to the gate. It's like, there's no way you're going to make it through TSA. To get to this gate. And I don't know if I had that look on my face or if she just was having a really, you know, great day or whatever. And she just looks at her two coworkers next to her. She's like, I'm going to have to walk him to the gate because he's not going to make it otherwise. And she literally left behind where she was and like, follow, you know, she led me through TSA, like up through past the entire line of TSA, up to the very front of the line and like went up to the TSA agent with me. And was just like, you know, he's an expedite here. We've got to get him to his flight and everything. He's like, they pushed me through TSA.
Wow.
So he's like,
I've never seen that.
I know. Michelle
before.
Like literally walked me up there so I could get on the flight to Kennedy. And Adam, if you haven't tried to lug your luggage through the subway system in New York City in the morning rush hour, you just haven't lived. I'm telling you, it was eventually we made it back to New Haven. And Alan and Susan were kind enough. They were visiting their sister, Alan's sister, who lives here in Connecticut. They actually drove me back up to Hartford to get my car and dropped me off at the place where I had parked my car up at the Hartford airport. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It was 3 days, 7 different flights, 6 of them canceled or delayed.
How many hours did you figure out how many hours delayed you were?
I was 52 hours delayed or something like that. I had to pay additional parking fees because my car was parked for 2 extra days. I had to pay my cat sitter extra days. You know, it's like, and anytime you say something to Delta on Twitter, they send you the same fucking link, which is, yes, we're sorry. We apologize. We are going to be issuing $200 travel vouchers to all of you. And it's just like, I don't want your fucking voucher. I just want to get home. It's just like, so it's just kind of one of these things. Like there are some really great people that work at Delta Airlines. And there were some awesome people along this time that, you know, really went above and beyond to help me out in these things and help other people out. And I'm sure other people have those stories, but it is such a broken system. It is such a horrible system. If you've ever had to watch a gate agent try to reassign you to a different flight, like something that I can pull out my phone and hit a button that says, find me a different flight. And I've got three options, takes them 50 keystrokes and going this screen and that screen. And it's like, they have such antiquated Byzantine systems that it's just like, it's amazing that they get anything done.
You're like, oh, my flight's delayed anyway. Let me just get in there and rewrite this application for you while I'm waiting.
It's just like, our tools are clearly better than their tools. And it's just like, it was so, so sad. Anyway, I'm so sorry, Adam. I know I'm so sorry to all of you folks and listening to this. I mean, just going on and on. But it was a horrible, horrible thing. By the way, there was a horrible, gosh, you know, just a really awful thing that George Takei said that I completely disagree with. And I think he's a total asshole. But I'm not going to talk about this on this show. I'm actually going to make a video for that. So just keep your eye out for that. George Takei can just bite my ass as far as I'm concerned. Screw you, George Takei. That's the...
Screw you.
Screw you, George Takei. Screw you. Where are we going? What's our next thing? We don't have news
stories.
Oh, so we have birthdays. We're going to birthdays. Uh-huh. Oh, fuck. I think I just lost the poll. Do you know the title?
Nope.
Okay, great. All right. But wait, I got it back. I got it back. We're going to go.
I'm surprised you weren't singing Daniel's Delta Blues or something like that.
Because
that went on for so long.
It was. Like, I really do apologize. And now I'm stalling because I don't have Dora up. And let's see. Here we go. All right.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta. So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
The Dubious Intent birthday segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue from somebody's birthday and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and looking at the chat room. Adam, what is our first musical cue this evening?
All right, here we go.
Which version of the song this is, which subtle variation of this theme that this might be.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple of variations before you can guess.
This sounds like a movie theme, though. This sounds not the TV show. This sounds more like the Wrath of Khan theme. Notice how the tempo isn't quite as fast as the television show.
It's a TV show, Daniel. What TV show is it?
That's the Star Trek Next Generation theme. But however, that is not. Yasma Badu is correct in the chat room. That is the movie version of that song.
It is, yes. But I didn't want the version where someone goes, space, the final frontier. Anyway. Yeah. All right, so here we go. Here's the next one.
Mice and Mystics is a super thematic cooperative play dungeon crawling game designed by Jerry Hawthorne and illustrated by John Ariosa. In Mice and Mystics, we play, wait for
it. Oh, I know this voice. All right, stop. Stop. This would be the guy that played the boy child Wilson, and I believe his name is Wentworth Miller. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, great. It's Will Wheaton, and he played Wesley on Star Trek The Next Generation.
It is Will Wheaton, and he had, I don't know if it's still on, but he had a YouTube show on the Geek & Sundry Network called Tabletop.
I believe he still does.
And they would play games. All right, he's 44, and here's your next birthday.
I bet one of the biggest challenges that you have in the morning when you get up is what to put in the kids' lunchboxes.
Or to poop.
Well, I have some suggestions today that I think are kind of fun.
This sounds very much like one former jailbird, what's her name? Martha Stewart. Is it Martha Stewart?
It is Martha Stewart.
Right.
Didn't even need the second clip.
That's right. Oh, by the way, Cranston 2 Electric Boogaloo in the chat room, Will Wheaton, does not actually have an H. It is W-I-L. It is not Will.
Will
Wheaton. Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton.
Yeah, Martha Stewart is 75 years old.
75 years old.
Yeah. And she bounced back from that whole prison stint.
She did.
All right, here is our next one, Daniel.
Wonder whatever came of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP.
Okay.
Been time to time packing and unpacking.
All right, Daniel, what show is that?
That's WKRP in Cincinnati, Adam. Yes.
All right. So here is another one because I know that won't.
There, that was an ensemble cast.
Yeah, that won't do it for you. So here is another one. This is a little obscure.
Yeah, it's really obscure. I have no idea. What is that?
It's the theme song to Nurses.
Nurses?
Nurses.
Nurses. Was it? Was it Lonnie Anderson? Was it her birthday?
It is Lonnie Anderson.
It's the only member of the WKRP staff that would fit on Nurses.
Well, the next one I was gonna play, which is kind of only tangentially related to Lonnie Anderson, is.
We gonna do what they can't be done. Yeah, that was Smokey and the Bandit.
Was, and she's not in that, but...
No, but on the TV show Nurse, and Yas Mamadou is saying that there can be male nurses, Daniel. But no, in the TV show Nurses. It's not like Tim Reed, Venus Flytrap from WKRP, was in the TV show Nurses. That's all I'm saying. Of the cast I have to work with.
We have a few more, so I'm going to keep moving forward. Anyway, she...
you know what, Adam? You know what? I just...
What?
I should wait until you're done. I just want to say, you know, I have one. I would like to, Adam, I would like to play a birthday theme for you.
You can play one.
Just see if you can guess. Are you, can I do that?
Yeah,
right, go ahead. Here's the theme, Adam.
Oh, well that's the theme song to, is it Call Box 7?
No.
It's, Electric Boogaloo, Electric Shoebox.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Is it
the theme to Dubious Intent, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Dubious Intent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, normally we do birthdays that have already happened.
No, it doesn't matter. He's very famous. So it's.
But happen to know there is a birthday coming up for one Alden Thomas.
Ah, it is. In fact, you are correct. It is Alden Thomas's birthday on the 15th. Congratulations, Adam, for guessing.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Alden.
It's also Adam Burns' birthday on the 17th.
Look at that. We are so close together. We're like Twinkies,
I know,
Alden
are,
and
you
I.
You are, other than the fact that he's 10 years younger than you. But yeah other than that,
Alden is not 10 years
well,
younger
he looks,
than me.
He looks. Have
sons.
You seen the picture? He looks 10 years younger than you.
Ugh. Well, happy birthday, Alden. Yes, my birthday is on, I don't even know what day it is, but it's on the 17th.
That is Wednesday.
Whatever day that is.
Wednesday is your birthday. I have a whole bunch of phone calls of people that called in for your birthday, but we can get to, go ahead and finish the birthday segment, then we'll get to those phone calls.
It'll be fun. All right. Super long show tonight.
Who cares, Adam? We've been gone for 2 days. This is the theme to the X-Files.
Yes, it is. The theme to X-Files,
so
Daniel.
It can only be one of two people then. It can be Gillian Anderson or it could be the other guy.
Could I have another? I have another one.
I'm ready.
Oh, that's the
Wait,
same
Adam,
one.
This
Wait
is the theme to the X-Files, Adam. This is great. I think this is this that Broad Church or something like that, or the,
it's not. I'll play one more for you.
Play me one more.
One
still haven't decided. Okay. All right, got it. This is the theme to Californication. So this must be David Duchovny. Is it David Duchovny?
It is. David Duchovny.
What was that middle theme?
It was Aquarius, which is a show he's in right now.
Oh, I was going to watch that.
It looked really interesting. It's about, he's a detective back in the 60s or 70s, whenever the whole Manson thing happened. Yeah. And he's investigating like Manson. And I haven't seen any of it, but the premise looked interesting at least.
I've always liked David Duchovny's premise. It's one of his best features.
He has a nice premise. All right. He's some age. Here we go.
You watch me beat it till I can't breathe. Shaking body onto my knees. And now that I'm without your kisses, I'll be needing stitches. Tripping over myself.
All right, this is some pop singer.
He's very popular.
They all are. That's why they're called popular singers.
And our audience skews about the same as you on these things. Yeah. So normally that I'm not even going to bother playing another song by him because
who is it?
He's it's Shawn Mendes.
See, I never would have gotten that. You literally could have said it's Shawn Mendes, and I just been.
He's very cute, and he has very very catchy songs. He's only like 18 years old.
Oh well, there you go.
And David Duchovny is 56.
Well, there you go.
All right, I'm going to skip one. Ashley Johnson.
Never would have gotten that.
I'll just tell you, is 33. She was the youngest daughter on Growing Pains.
Oh, wow. I forgot that there even was a young daughter on Growing Pains.
And is in the current show, what's it called? Blind Spot.
Okay.
She's the blonde on Blind Spot.
She's actually the blind person on Blind Spot.
The blonde.
That's what I said, the blind person.
All right, here's our next one.
This is the theme to the X-Files, Adam.
Oh, it is. No, but this is not a mistake. This is the theme to X-Files. And I'll just play one more for you.
Remember, it's an addiction. He takes his fantasies and he turns them into reality.
Okay, that is Gillian Anderson. Is that correct?
Is it Gillian?
I forget if she said
Gillian.
It's
Gillian.
Or Gillian.
So Gillian and David have their birthdays really close to each other.
Kind of like you and Alden.
And like Alden and I. We should be in a popular cult series.
TV show together. We should. Yeah. Is that it, Adam? Are you done? Or?
She's 48 and that's it. But there is one more that I don't have. I just want to tell everyone. Steve Martin turned 71.
How do you not have it? You could have played King Tut.
No, I do, but I ran out of time. I just didn't get it, and we've gone long anyway. So.
Buried with a donkey, King Tut.
I was actually
going to
play a banjo, one of his banjo solos, because I don't know if you're aware, but Steve Martin is a banjoist. Yeah,
he is. You know what, Adam? When someone is as famous as you, people like to go out of their way to call into the show to wish you a happy birthday with your happy birthday coming up.
I don't like to mention it, Daniel, but I have an illustrious, iconoclastic YouTube career.
You do.
And I am famous.
I'm sure these people watch your YouTube. Here you go, Adam. Here's your first phone call for your birthday. Let's listen to it, shall we?
All right. Hello, lovey. This is a call for that crooked hat, Adam Burns. Oh, big fatty. Why are you calling Adam Burns? Well, I'm calling him to wish him a happy commemoration of the exiting of the birth canal. Yes. Oh, big fatty, do you think you'll get some cake?
There you go, Adam. That was.
Oh, thank you. He's so, big fatty. Thank you so much for calling. You have such a busy schedule.
He does.
I'm surprised.
You know, he's not the only podcasting celebrity that called you tonight, Adam. No. Let's get to our next call here. Let's go ahead. Let's listen to this.
Hi, Adam. This is Christina. I was calling to wish you a happy fucking birthday. Both Nicole and I wish you the greatest and happiest of birthdays. Isn't that right, Nicole?
Well, yes, it is absolutely correct, Christine. Happy birthday, Adam.
Why the fuck do you sound like that, Nicole?
There you go, Adam. It's Christina and Nicole from Greetings from Nowhere.
Well, thank you, Christina and Nicole.
A show that you've been on many times as a guest, and they were calling to wish you their give you their birthday. Oh, wait, let's go to our next call here, Adam. Another huge podcasting celebrity listening.
Yes. Hello. It is me, Joe Batance, from the award-winning Catching Up podcast. I was just taking time out of my busy schedule of being on Sirius Satellite Radio, talking about my award-winning show, to call here and to wish Adam Burns a very happy birthday. Once again, Joe Batance wishing Adam Burns a happy birthday.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, see, there was a sweet.
Oh, thank you, Joe Batance.
You say that no one ever pays attention to your birthday, but clearly, Adam.
I was so wrong.
You were so wrong.
So wrong.
But wait, there's more. What's our next phone call? Let's see.
Yes, this is a call for Adam Burns. This is Sassy. Sassy and Sassy. I was just calling to wish you a happy birthday.
Sassy, what are you doing, Sassy? you need to come and come back to work.
There you go. That was Sassy.
Oh, thank you, Sassy. And I think I heard Toppy on there as well.
I think it was Toppy.
He was trying to prevent Sassy from telling me happy birthday.
He's always trying to thwart poor little Sassy from doing his thing. And our final phone call, of course, Adam, the last but not least, certainly not least. Here you go, Adam. It's your final birthday wish this evening.
Yes, this is a call for Adam Burns. This is your Auntie Vera Charles calling to wish you and only you, not that other thing that you're there with, but to wish you a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, lovey. I hope you have just a great and wonderful birthday because, you know, putting up with that co-host of yours, you certainly, certainly deserve it.
There you go, Adam. Happy birthday.
Oh, well, I feel so special. Thank you, Auntie Vera. I appreciate that. And Auntie Vera also came into the chat room earlier to wish me a happy birthday.
She had to leave. Don't ask. That's what she said. I got to leave. Don't ask. But she came in to say, there you go, Adam. Those are our birthdays that we have here on the old Pride 48.
Thank you all.
Go ahead.
For those of you who didn't know, Wednesday, August 17th.
Yes. It's Adam's birthday. Yes, I'm in. Excellent. Adam, it is the contact segment of the show where we read our emails and play our voicemails.
Yes, it is, Daniel. Yes, it is.
We don't have any voicemails this week, but we do, Adam. I don't know if you remember or not. A few weeks ago, I suggested that if people would like to send us an award, if we will be happy to accept their awards and
what?
Proudly boast about the awards that we win.
Are you telling me that we have won an award?
Adam, what I'm telling you...
A listener award?
That's right, Adam. We are now an award-winning podcast.
About time.
It's about damn time after, what, like 17 years of doing this show? Since the early days of AM radio, we finally have won an award. Let's get right down to it, shall we? Adam, we've won the Without Mentioning Any Names award. I don't know if you know this or not. The Without Mentioning Any Names award is bestowed upon the podcaster with the best rant for July of 2016 that targeted an anonymous person. here's the there's actually a clip from that show of Daniel Brewer saying, without mentioning any names, if I say something that pisses you off, don't be a chicken shit little pussy boy and text my co-host about it. Have some fucking respect and call me out directly, you pussy little chicken shit motherfucker. I'm just saying, if you have a problem with me, come at me, dickwad. Don't come at Adam. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. And the winner is Daniel Brewer from the Dubious Intent podcast. Yeah, he's like, ugh. Wow, I feel so gratified, Daniel, to win this award. Thank you so much, Musing Mark, for bestowing this upon us. We will place this prominently and proudly on our website, the winner of the Without Mentioning Any Names award. Adam, it's just tingles down my spine from winning that award. Thank you very much, Musing Mark. And remember, if you would like to send us, if you would like to give us your own award, make sure that you just send it to us. Contact at dubiousintent.com. Adam, we have one more email here. This one comes in to us from Zach. This was sent to me because it was about my political show, but I asked him if it was okay for me to read it on this episode. And he said, yes.
All right.
He says, hello. You asked your listeners to write. You let you know what we thought. I liked it. I enjoy listening to commentary on current events. Your views align with mine, and I truly have not been hearing that side, that voice on this topic. You're absolutely right with the whole idea of Clinton surrogates and apologists simply yelling at us to vote for her. You hit the nail on the head. Give us a reason. Although it would have been nicer to hear what she would need to say or to do to persuade you to earn our vote. And then he says some other nice things, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. I kind of wish you and Adam talked about things like this more often, like that Confederate flag debate.
Oh, my God. I was muted for a second. Let me read that. Oh, my God. It was
amazing, the things he was saying. Grated on me, but it was a nice debate. Thank you. Have a good one, Zach. Thank you, Zach. You know what? And I've noticed that... all the ads that I see on TV for Hillary now are not an ad about why I should vote for Hillary. They're just like, her primary reason for us voting for her seems to be, I'm not Donald Trump. It's like, as I pointed out, there's 300 million other people who are not Donald Trump. I'm sorry, that's not a good enough reason to vote for you. It's like, I kind of need something else. Toppy Smelly wants us to check our voicemail. See if we...
Mags also says there should be another death phone call, but I don't know if he means he just called in, because we do have another voicemail.
Yeah.
But it's from Toppy Smelly, okay. And there's not another one from Mags. So, I missed one. There is one from Mags.
Oh, you called Mags a liar and then retracted it immediately.
Ring.
I got this, Adam. I got this. I don't even need to play that. We're in the contact segment. But let's go ahead and listen to our Toppy Smelly voicemail here. Let's see.
Oh, hi. This is Toppy Smelly. I'm calling way early, just to wish Adam Burns a happy birthday. This will probably be one of the first birthday calls you play since I'm calling so early. But just happy birthday, Adam.
Uh-huh. See? Now we know why he was trying to interrupt Sassy earlier. He wanted to be the first one to call.
Oh, thank you, Toppy. You were the actual, well, other than all those other calls, you're the first... official happy birthday.
Right. Other than Big Fatty.
Thank you.
Christina and Nicole.
Sassy.
Joe Batance and Sassy.
Joe Batance.
And Auntie Vera. Yes.
Auntie Vera. Yeah.
Other than them, you are the first. Anyway, thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate you for listening. I got a couple of nice comments on the political show. I realize the political show is not everyone's cup of tea, and that's fine. But, I had fun. I had fun doing it. So. There you go.
I feel like I would be, I don't know if you ever watched The View or if you, I don't,
you would be Star
Jones. I
don't
know if you have ever watched it, but the blonde that was conservative that everyone always like.
Oh, the one from Elizabeth Hasselbeck or something.
Yeah.
Her, Survivor. Yeah.
I feel like I would be the Elizabeth Hasselbeck of Dubious Intent. Like, because I would have the more conservative views. Now I don't watch The View. Maybe she's a complete idiot. and I'm just portraying myself as a complete idiot. But I feel like I would always have the more conservative views and you would always have the more bleeding heart liberal views. And I would just be the redheaded stepchild. Everyone would, because Elizabeth Hasselbeck got a lot of flack for being conservative.
Well, no, no, that is not true. Elizabeth Hasselbeck got a lot of flack for being an idiot. It wasn't so much, it's like, there are a lot of conservative commentators out there who are not idiots that people respect, but it's like a lot of these, you know, like Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin doesn't get shit for being conservative. Sarah Palin gets shit for being stupid. It's just like the same with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She would say really dumb things. They weren't like conservative viewpoints backed up by some kind of theory. Like, I can respect someone who honestly believes that trickle-down economics is a viable theory. Like, and if they wholeheartedly believe that and they, you know, that they want to make that argument, I can completely, you know, understand where they're coming from. I disagree with it, but I understand that. And I can, you know, we can have a meaningful conversation. But when you're talking to someone who's just so batshit crazy, where they're just like, you know, Hillary Clinton's email server, your private email server is like unprecedented in American history. It's like, no, actually the two former Secretary of States before her, you know, Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, both also had private email servers. It's a shortcoming in the government system of what technology they allow you to use that wasn't working. It's like, it has nothing to, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you can't make up your own facts. If you want to argue your own theories, that's great, but you can't, you're not entitled to your own facts. And right. So the Elizabeth Hasselbeck got
absolutely
crap,
Daniel.
For,
absolutely.
Let's get out of this. 3, 2, 1.
Contact. There was one more from Max.
Was it a voicemail?
It's a celebrity death phone call.
Oh, well, then we'll save it. Save it. Okay. We'll save it. Max already won the damn contest last year. He can wait a week. Whoever it is, he did he win?
They're dead.
Or, yeah, they're not going anywhere. They're dead. We'll get to it next week. Thank you, Max. We do appreciate that. Although I thought I put Max's call in the thing.
I don't think we played it because I don't recall hearing that.
No, but I think I thought I labeled it.
Put it in the Trello.
That's probably what it was. Anyway, Adam, well, welcome back. I'm glad you had a wonderful trip to Washington and visiting your family. And
yeah, farting grandmothers. Urine in the dryer. And you know,
I would apologize to everyone for listening to my tediously long Delta story, but you know, by this point you've already tuned out, so you're not even hearing me say it. But that's all right.
Daniel, as your co-host, you know, I'm being paid for that and everything, mm-hmm. your long stories, I would love to be able to say, unfortunately, I can't.
Why?
That's not in my job description.
Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2. No. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 229-234-7587. Or send us an email. contact@dubiousintent.com.
It is in my job description to listen to your long stories, Daniel, and I love it.
Whatever. You didn't even listen to my solo show, so don't even pretend like you would like. You're just like,
well,
oh.
That show is.
Daniel's just ranting again.
That show is political, and I will listen to it. I just haven't yet.
Here's
I had a lot of shows to...
Here's the thing that scares me, is I listen to, you know, Washington Journal on C-SPAN every morning, and I hear some truly ignorant people calling into that show every morning. But it dawned on me today, those people actually know more than you. If you don't follow politics, and it's like you're letting these idiots that call in and saying these things, they actually know more. They actually care more about it than you do, and that's sad.
You
sad.
Don't know what I know. I know
Good
stuff.
Good night, chat.
Night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.